Thanks for joining us on this week's Real Life Church podcast. We'd love to know if God is using this ministry to bless you in some way. And if you'd like to share your story or know more about getting involved at Real Life Church, you can visit us on our website at livereallife.com today.
All right, we're going to hop into the message today. We are in the middle of a message series called Relationship Survival Guide. I brought my survivor kit. How many of you were not here last week? Raise your hand. Well, we're good. Only like three of you. Good. Great. Where were you? I'm just messing. I'm just kidding. So last week we launched a, somebody was like, I was at the hospital, Pastor. That's where I was at. I had a broke leg and stuff. Anyway, we determined last week, fun story, I had a young person come up after service, was really bothered the fact that I didn't know how to close this knife. Connor, let's bring it all the way up here, buddy, in the light. Bring it in the light. Yeah, what are we doing? This side's cleaner?
Yeah.
Perfect. Thank you. See, that's why you employed to do this. This ain't going to stay long, but I wanted to draw some pictures this morning, and you're going to see my artistic abilities. Somebody just went woohoo. Woohoo's right. But last week I had a young person come up and show me how to close the knife, and I was trying to figure it out without cutting my hand off. But anyway, we determined last week that this is, we're talking about a relationship survival guide. And last week we talked about packing love in our survival kit when it comes to relationships. And really operating in the love of God when it comes to relationships. How many know relationships are hard? Relationships are difficult. And whether you're married, whether you're single, whether you're it's a job relationship with an employer or employee, we all know that these parenting, all of the sorts of relationships that we find ourselves in. And last week I challenged you to look around your life. And that you are the sum total, you are the average of, per se, you're the average of the five people that you spend the most time with. So you're like, shoot, I need to make some changes in this area because I got some jokers around me. If you hang around turkeys, you're going to become a, there you go. You know, you can aspire to be an eagle, but if you're hanging around turkeys, and you can have eagle potential. But listen, one day you're going to be on somebody's table in November. That's all there is to it. Because you might have all the potential to be an eagle, but your environment of people determine whether or not you're able to soar. And so we know relationships are difficult. We know that people struggle with them. But I want to give you this. This is what I'm calling a handy field guide to living with other people. And so today I'm going to talk to you about which I believe going through life, going through and really over the last 20-something years, it's kind of crazy to think about. Been doing this for almost 26 years, been in ministry. That's a long stinking time, just so y'all know. Starting to get gray on the sides, just so everybody knows. That's just because I'm getting older. But anyway, we determined last week that also there is, and I'm going to show you kind of what I believe is the number one killer of relationships. And, you know, in a survival guide situation, a couple things that we determined was in the natural realm that they, if you find yourself in a survival situation, the first thing they tell you to do is get your head right. You know, your thought, your minds, right? You're in the middle of nowhere and you don't know how you're going to work it out, how you're going to figure it out, but they tell you to get your mind right. They tell you to deal with injuries. They, you know, you get your first aid kit, start Band-Aid, put the ointment on there, make the triple antibiotic, make the bugs go out. So your leg don't fall off, okay? Then they tell you to defend yourself, have some sort of weapon, a knife in your survival kit. They tell you to start signaling. You know, my whistle, last week I blew this, for those of you that weren't here last week, just because, oh, that's not the right thing, that's the flashlight. But just because I want to, and that's it right there. And so to have a whistle tells you to build a shelter, tell you to get safe water, to find water, and always find water before you find food. How many know that's going to be difficult for some of us? Hey, amen. We're going looking for bunny rabbits. And sorry for some of you that like bunny rabbits. Build a shelter, again, build, and then get fire so you can stay warm, kind of build your morale. Find food, target high-calorie food, you know, berries and nuts and those sorts of things. Stay motivated. Like if you're in a survival situation, stay motivated. And then that just means enjoy the small successes. Like if you have a fire and you were able to make a fire, then that's a success, right? If you were able to not get eaten over the night, then that's a success. You woke up the next morning with all your limbs. But then finally, I thought this was very interesting. In a survival mode, in a survival situation, they encourage you to stay put. In other words, they encourage you not to try to self-rescue. They encourage you and they do not recommend that you try to save yourself. And I found that interesting because I think about relationships and marriage and parenting and the stuff we go through and just in life in general, how often do we try to save ourselves? But in the natural, they tell you stay put because help's coming. How many believe help's coming? No matter what your situation is this morning, when it comes to relationship, I believe help's coming. So back in 2014, I'll tell you a short story. 2014, we were over at the junior high. And being at the junior high, we had to set up and tear down a lot more than what we see there. Here, for those of you that weren't a part of that, we had a full stage we had to set up. Rick brought the trailers, pulled everything off, then went back to storage, got the chairs, brought the chairs back. We set the chairs up. These are the school's chairs, and the school set them up. How many know that's favor? Clap for Nick. He's back there, our custodian. He handles this for us. And so, but we set up a lot of stuff back then, and our kids' area had blue flooring. Anybody a part of the blue flooring days? We had to set up the blue flooring. Yeah, I can see it. Scars. When we got rid of it, Debbie was on top of it like she was the king of the mountain as we were wheeling it out to the dumpster to get rid of it because she was excited she didn't have to do that anymore. But minimal setup now here. But over there, and so I was up helping set up stage and just getting stage set up. And I was feeling like a week ago, like on a Saturday, week prior, I started feeling really nauseous. And I started, I think it was Memorial Day weekend. And I started throwing up real bad. And I went to the bathroom at the campground, started throwing up. I blamed it on my uncle's chicken. So if he's watching, it's all your fault. But I ate this chicken. I thought it was the chicken. I just felt really sick. And so I didn't understand why I was sick. And so I let a week go by. And through the week, I kept having this dull pain right here in the side of my side here in the rib. It wasn't enough to like really do anything about it. But it was there. How many know those pains? They're there, but they don't really... You know, I'm finding out at 47, boy, oh boy, you pour cereal and your leg goes out. It's like, bang, there it went. You know, it's weird. Anyway, and so I had this dull pain. So fast forward a week, we're setting up. I felt that start to increase, and I remember I was set up. I preached, still had the dull pain, and then I got off the stage. I was like, man, something ain't right. I need to go. So I went and told my wife, I said, I'm going to the emergency room. She's like, what? You'll never do that. So I just felt weird. I felt like I should go. So I go to the emergency room at Kettering, and I go in after service, and I check in, everything. They're like, what's wrong? I said, I just got this dull pain right here. I don't know what's going on with me. And so they take me back, and they're like, do you have your appendix? I said, I think I do. I don't think anybody took them. And they're like, well, so have you had any gallbladder issues, things like that? I was like, no, not that I know of. I like spicy food. Does that have anything to do with it? But anyway. And so... resident doctor came in, and he's like, I just want to do some probing around in this area. I thought, well, what you going to probe, bro? What's the deal here? So he's like, here, let me just touch. So he touched, and there's just a little doll right through there. And he said, you know what? Lay down, put your hand over your head, and I'm going to push right here in this area. So he pushes on my appendix area. Sweet Jesus. He pushed, I swung, knocked the guy out. He was on the ground, not really, but man, that's how it felt. It was that much pain. And come to find out, I was like just a week away from these bad boys blowing up on the inside of me. It was my 39th birthday. I spent it getting my appendix out on my 39th birthday. I woke up and the nurses had blown up the rubber gloves, stuck them on the end of my bed. Now, if you've ever come out of the anesthesia stuff and you see blown up rubber gloves on the end of your bed, you're like, wow, I used to do drugs, but this is really weird. But I remember thinking to myself, if I had not dealt with the dull pain, this could have resulted in severe damage to my body. And so I started to think about that story in context to relationships, is that nothing can be cured until there's a diagnosis. Until they diagnosed the pain, they could not do the surgery. So I'll never forget, I was laying there and they were like, you're going to emergency surgery. It's 4 o'clock in the afternoon. You know, emergency rooms, they're quick. That's why it's called emergencies. Not really. So 3 hours into the process, they're like, you're going to go back and we're going to do surgery on you. And I will never forget my doctor. My doctor came in And this is old school. You guys may not remember this group, all right? But it was a rap group, and it was three dudes, and they were called the Fat Boys. Anybody remember these guys? Anybody at all? Because like that was back in the day, and they were exactly what the group was. And so anyway, they rapped and stuff. Anyway, so I remember he came in and he looked like he was number four of the group. Okay, and so anyway, and so he's like, "Sir, we're going to take you to surgery like right now." And I'm like, "Okay, cool, let's do this thing." You know, I call my wife. We're going to do an MRI, do the thing, double check, blah blah blah. Do it. I call my wife. Hey, I'm going to surgery. Well, 11 o'clock in the evening rolls around. Emergency surgery. So it happened. It wasn't for like 6 hours later that I actually went in and had the surgery done. And I'll never forget when they wheeled me into the operating room, my doctor, like, it was crazy because Cypress Hill, I don't know if you guys remember this group, Cypress Hill was playing on the music. Like when you come in, like, and I'm like, this is tripping. I'm at the club getting surgery done. I'm like, oh, hey, you know, and here I am. And so they wheel me in and he's just sitting there like this. He goes, "Sir, count backwards, 10, 9, 8, boom." I was gone. I woke up seeing balloons, man. That's what happened. And so it was crazy because I started to realize when it comes to relationships, a lot of you don't know how to diagnose the problem. You know there's a problem, and you don't know how to get the cure to the problem because you don't know how to diagnose the issue. So a lot of times in our relationships, we try to do everything we can to figure out the cure for the problem. But a lot of times we are not looking in the right places. And so if we're going to live in this place of successful relationships, we have to understand that in order for there to be healing, there has to be a diagnosis of the problem, right? You can only Band-Aid it so much, right? And so this is what I believe. I believe today that I'm going to give you a key to your relationships that will help you for the rest of your life if you can get it. You ready? All right, good. So I'm going to write a word up here. Hopefully you guys can all see it. It's probably not going to be spelled right. But that's okay. I'm your pastor and you're here. The word is expectations. Now, I really believe that the number one killer of every relationship is unrealistic expectation. Now, here's what I mean by that is you have expectations in marriage. Right? You expect when you first got, you know, you went through marriage counseling, you thought marriage was going to be a certain way, right? Mm-hmm. It didn't turn out that way, did it? See, a lot of times I think I'm going to try to be soft but be real at the same time today, if that works for you. Like, your mama irons your clothes, and that was the expectation of your wife, but then your wife didn't iron your clothes. Guess what, guys? You didn't marry your mama. Right? And so the expectation was she's going to iron my clothes, but then she doesn't iron my clothes. My mommy ironed my clothes. Why doesn't she iron my clothes? Right? And so what happens is there's something down here in relationships called reality. I really believe that we want to marry, we date the ideal, but we marry the real. So what you have to understand about these two things is this. Is there something in here, there's a gap. And this gap is where we struggle. Because in any relationships, if you have unrealistic expectations and the reality of those expectations don't meet your expectation, guess what happens in here? Disappointment. Disappointment happens in the middle. Pain happens here. Tension happens here. See, because you have this mental expectation that's unrealistic in your relationships, but the reality of your relationships are a certain way, and the gap between expectations and reality is always going to be disappointment, pain, and tension. So I'm going to take you through how you got to where you are with your unrealistic expectations. Because here's what expectations are. Expectations are this. Expectations are the belief that things should be a certain way. Now, as much as I want to tell you that this morning we played a trick on you and we didn't have any band or anything because you expected to come in and see a band. See, here's the thing that we have to understand is we do this with church. We do this with marriage. We do this with friends. Come on, somebody. We do this with coworkers, And here's the most important thing. We do it with God. How many times have we put an unrealistic expectation on God? Well, he's the God of the universe. He can do anything. Absolutely. But the problem is your reality tells you that he put something in the scripture called patience and perseverance. That if you don't realize that the expectation, if it's unrealistic upon God, and your reality is God needs to do this now. Watch me. And he doesn't. What does it do? It creates a wedge between you and your heavenly Father. Now you're disappointed with God. Now we point the finger at God. God, why didn't you come through for me in this area? Well, let me show you where some of this stuff comes from. Because this is reality in our relationships. You believe it should be a certain way. Again, you know, think about some of the examples when it comes to expectations. I already gave you the marriage one. But what about parenting? I'm living through this and I've lived through this. Your kid goes to college and you miss your kid, right? And they're gone to college and you miss them. And you think when they come home from college, the expectation is they missed you a lot. He's all by himself on the front row today. They missed you a lot, right? And so the expectation of a parent is, he missed me. They missed me. They miss me, right? And so you expect they just going to come to family dinner. They're going to hang out all day with you. And the expectation is that because they've been gone, the expectation is that they should hang out with you all the time. Now listen to me. Every parent in this room, we have had this expectation if you have a college kid. Or somebody that's left and that's a college kid and they come home, right? Right? Because that's the expectation you have for them. That's not reality. They're going to go see their friends. And here's what happens is all of a sudden your reality is they don't want to see you much. So you sit in the corner and you eat a half a gallon of chocolate ice cream. Because my kids hate me. I'm kidding. They love you still. They just don't want to be around you. And so reality says that. But if you're not careful and you put this unrealistic expectation on them, guess what happens? It drives a wedge of disappointment, pain, and tension between you and your kids. Because you set the expectation. Now, what about for example, your employer? How many think you should show up to time at work every? Let's say you run a business. How many of you want? If you're running a business, let's pretend we're all entrepreneurs. Pick your choice, whatever you want to be. And you have employees that work for you. What is the expectation of those employees? That they show up to work on time. How many would agree? That's your Waldman. See, you want them all to be on work on time. He's got some employees in the room, so pay attention. You're welcome. But the reality says there might be a day that they're not there on time. And if our expectation is you never miss being on time, and you set that expectation, when something legitimate happens of a reality, stuck in traffic, stubbed their toe, got a call that somebody's in the hospital, and all of a sudden what happens is you think it is, well, they just don't want to come to work on time. Now, if you're consistently late, you need to be fired. Okay? So, sorry, I know this is America, you can do what you want and get trophies for second place, but if you don't show up, you get fired. Amen. All right. That's kind of controversy, isn't it? Sorry, it's okay. So, the point is it will create a disappointment, pain, and tension between you and your employees. This shows up everywhere in your life. What about finances? Let's go back to college kids. You coming out of college expecting to make bank when you come out of college. Like, you expect to make what somebody's been in the industry for 30 years, that's where you should start. But the reality says that might be your expectation, but you have to understand, unrealistic. The realistic nature is reality says I have to start somewhere and I have to build credibility and I have to be faithful. Then I can move up in the company. Then I can make more money and see how the progression works. But if you come in with an unrealistic expectation that says, I don't care how long this brother's been here. He's been here for 50 years making six figures. I just got out of college. I think I should make six figures too. You've lost your mind. That's an unrealistic expectation, and we all experience it. So here's every time, unrealistic expectations create tension, disappointment, and pain. And so why do we live this way? We have to understand the reason there is disappointment, pain, and tension is when you live with unrealistic expectations, you have already put the other person in a debt position. In other words, it's always going to be like this with you, right? So you've already put that person, here's your unrealistic expectation. You've already put them in a place of debt, right? And a lot of times we say, you need to do a certain thing to get to my expectation. But what if in our relationships, God wants us to navigate this waters a little bit different? What if he wants us to get real expectations that will help our reality become successful? I'm helping you this morning. It's the number one killer of every relationship. It's not affairs. You're like, well, Pastor, what do you mean? That's terrible. Yeah, it's terrible. But it doesn't start with an affair. It starts with an unrealistic expectation. Come on, somebody. I do marriage counseling premarital, and one of those things in there is sex, right? And I get all sorts of answers of how often. This is Real Life Church. Good morning. Welcome. I get all sorts of answers. I get the guys who are like 4 or 5 times a day. Amen. Young boys, you know what I'm saying? But then the woman's like, twice a month. You know, it's like, crap. And so the point is this, is if you have this expectation, unrealistic, that you're going to have sex when you get married 3 to 5 times a day, and it doesn't happen, what happens? You start to take it personal. You start to have self-image problems. You start to live in disappointment, pain, and tension. And all of a sudden, what happens? You try to find somebody that will do that with you. That's how it happens. It all starts with an unrealistic expectations. You expect your friends to get you a birthday present for your birthday. This is how this happens. You expect your friends to get you a birthday present. And listen, you think you need a birthday present because it's your birthday. But you show up for the lunch that they're going to, hey, let's go do the birthday thing. We're going to go to lunch. And you're expecting a present. And they show up with nothing. Like, what the crap are we doing? I'm buying my own birthday lunch. And then they don't do what you expect. And all of a sudden now there's this pain and this disappointment because you didn't get a birthday present. You set an unrealistic expectation, but your reality is your friends just wanted to hang out with you during your birthday. They didn't have to bring you a present. Here's what you have to do is you have to lower your expectation. So when you are blessed, you're blessed, right? You expect nothing. You just want to go hang out with your friends, right? And you're going to have a birthday, and then all of a sudden, they bring you a gift. You wasn't expecting it, but then they bring you a gift, and you're like, oh boy, wow, you brought me a gift. I'm blessed, right? You can enjoy blessing better if you lower your expectation and get it into a reality versus living with an unrealistic expectation that always creates pain. This is how this cycle works. Where do expectations come from? How do we get this? How do we get to this place? First off, is fullness of things that we've experienced in life. Right? So me and my wife, when we got married, we had totally two different childhoods coming up. Right? She was the church girl, and I wasn't. And she went to church her whole entire life. She was born on the church pew. I was not born on a church pew at all. And so we had two different lifestyles that we were raised with. And one of her things that she brought to the marriage was this Sundays at Grandma's thing. And my Lord Jesus. And it was every Sunday. We had to go to Grandma's. They called it the Hot Dog Palace. And we went to Grandma's and the whole family came over every Sunday. And this was the expectation. And my family's probably watching right now. This is 20-something years ago, folks. So don't get mad because we're having family dinner today. Don't bring this up at the mess. All right, so listen. Early on, I was like, this is not what I experienced as a kid. So the expectation of being at grandma's every week was like, what? I don't want to go sit and look at the Weather Channel. Football's on Sundays. I want to be home in my pajamas, amen, watching football, not going to grandma's, eating boiled hot dogs. Nobody wants it. And then they only put enough out. Come on, somebody. They only put enough chips and enough dip, and I'm like, hey, we need to amp up. I'll buy extra chips if this is what it's going to take. The point is there was this unrealistic expectation. And so this was her fullness as a kid. She enjoyed going to grandma's as a kid. And then I come on the scene and I'm like, this is weird. Like, I didn't understand it. Like, this was not an expectation in my family that we hang out at grandma's on Sundays. But because of that, there was times where I'm like, I ain't going to grandma's again. I love grandma, but I'm not going to grandma's. I want to stay home and just sit. So the point is, sorry, I feel like I just had a little counseling moment with you guys. Like, you're my counselors. I let it out. But it was something I wasn't used to. But for her, the expectation come from a fulfillment of something she'd experienced in life. The other way that expectations come is from the emptiness we experience. We experience emptiness in life, and it's what we didn't get and what we wanted to get that creates an unrealistic expectation in us. So that means simply this, is that maybe as a kid you never heard, I love you. Maybe your parents didn't affirm you that you were loved. And so you expect, this is the opposite. You expect from your friends, from your close relationships, that it should be a regular part of your relationship that you're told how much you're loved because you didn't get it. So our expectations come out of our deficiencies as well. So they come out of our fullness and they come out of our emptiness. They come out of our successes and they come out of our deficiencies. And whether we realize this or not, either one of those set us up for unrealistic expectation that eventually will create disappointment, pain, and tension in our lives. So the question this morning is, how do we manage unrealistic expectations? How are we going to manage unrealistic expectations? Because if you don't manage this, you will experience constant disappointment. You will experience, how many have expectation on Monday, because not Sunday, Chick-fil-A? You know, when you go to Chick-fil-A, you have an expectation, right? You know they're going to be like, hi, sir, how you doing? Right? What would you like today? How can I serve you? Right? You have an expectation when you go to Chick-fil-A. Other restaurants, not so much. But you have an expectation. What happens when the expectation there at Chick-fil-A doesn't line up? All of a sudden, you're like, what's going on with Chick-fil-A? Why are they changing their culture all of a sudden? Why don't they want to serve me anymore? Why is the chicken not hot any longer? Right? All of a sudden, it creates an expectation in us, an unrealistic expectation. So how do we manage unrealistic expectations? Here's some principles that I want you to put in your survival kit. Number one, stop waiting for another person to fulfill all your needs. If you are going to manage unrealistic expectations, you have got to stop putting all this faith in another person to complete you. It will never happen. I tell people that are going to get married, make sure you're completely single when you get married. Make sure that your fulfillment is coming vertically. Make sure that you know how to pray and get God for yourself before you add another person to the mix. Right? Because it's going to create in you pain, disappointment, and tension. Because people will let you down. Look at your neighbor. Don't say nothing. Listen, you can't become so dependent on people that you're getting your worth and value of how they treat you. Some people go to certain places just because of the way they're treated, which you should be treated right. But at the end of the day, that can't be where you get your worth. That can't be. You're adding a person to your life to create this fulfillment. See, because what happens is You rely on them for how you feel about yourself. You rely on them to always be there to validate you, to make you feel approved. Did you know some of you have an approval addiction? It's like a drug to you. You have to have somebody telling you how awesome you are and get your worth from another person in order for you to feel validated in this life. Can I tell you today that you're so valuable and you're so validated in this world that God sent his only son to die for you, that the validation and the value of your life is determined by the price that was paid for it. And it comes through his son. He paid the ultimate price for us. So stop waiting for another person to fulfill all of your needs. It becomes a drug. If you don't get it, if you don't get the fix, if they don't meet all your expectations, you get discouraged. You feel inferior. You work overtime to win their approval. Listen, here, the problem is this, is you're trying to get from people what only God can give you. Well, Pastor, we're supposed to have relationships. Absolutely, but relationships are not number one. Relationships, he says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and your neighbor. That's when you add relationships in. See, because the problem is that when we flip-flop it, we're getting our value, our worth, and who we are comes from another person. Listen, your worth, your value doesn't come from another person. It comes from the one that created you. And if you rely on people, you'll be disappointed because people will let you down. Get your cue. Get your identity. Get your expectation for your life, your value, and your worth from the 66 books called the Bible. And allow the Word of God to tell you your value and your worth. And stop putting it so much effort into the person that's fallible, into the person that's not perfect. Number two is, if we're going to manage unrealistic expectations, we have to examine our expectations. We have to examine our expectations. Is what you expect realistic? Is what you expect realistic? Your spouse did not marry you to reparent you. Let me say that again really quick. That went over. Let me say it. Your spouse did not marry you to reparent you. What your parents did, your spouse is not the person to do that. Right? And so all of a sudden we have to realize, we have to examine, are these realistic expectations? Adjust your expectations. That doesn't mean you don't expect anything. I'm not talking about walking around and expect anything, whatever it will be, it will be. No. You just have to move the bar a little bit. You have to adjust those expectations. So then when you have the view and the idea that a person doesn't fulfill every need of yours, then the pain and the disappointment is put at a minimal and you're redirected in the right places. I say it all the time, and I'm going to say it. And this is how I just trained myself over the years. When it comes to people, people, including myself, are just flat stupid. You're like, Pastor, are you calling us stupid? No, not calling you stupid. We all have stupid tendencies. All of us. So what do I mean by that? I don't position myself for you to fulfill me. Because here's the deal. Back when we first started the church, if I would have based it on the crowd, if I would have based it, even today, 20 or 10 years later, 20 years, dear Lord Jesus, if 10 years later, if I would have based it on the crowd, guys, I would have stopped a long time ago. If I needed you to tell me, hey, Pastor, you're awesome, you're doing a great job, that's it right there, that's it. If I appreciate that, but I don't get my value from that. Right? I don't get my value from that, because if I did, I would be disappointed in you when I shake your hand and you're like, nah, and just walk out the door. Instead of saying, Pastor, you're awesome. Pastor, you're awesome. I don't need that. I appreciate it, but I don't need it. Because my value, my expectation of you is not for you to come up every week and tell me how awesome I am. I don't need that from you. Right? What I get the validation and my expectation of you is not is not that. My expectation is in God. And God tells me, hey, Jason, here's a, because there's been times I've walked off this podium, especially at the junior high early on, when we were at 187, there would be some Mother's Day where I'd be watching the church growth seminars, and they would tell you, Mother's Day is the week. That's it. Get your Mother's Day. It's going to be a packed house, and you're going to have to. And yo, our Mother's Day was not. Our Mother's Day, like, everybody went to the park, and, like, it was empty. And there was some years I was like, shoot, forget this. This is crazy. And the enemy would beat me up. And he would say, Jason, it's something you did wrong. And all of a sudden, the enemy would start beating me up. And I would walk off the stage, and I'd get in my car. And when I'd get in my car, I'd hear these voices that you're not doing a good job. You're not there. But listen to me for just a minute. He was trying to use who was there and who wasn't there to validate or discredit what I was doing. So what did I do in my car? I got loud. Come on, somebody. And I started taking authority over those things that would come in my life that I would try to get the affirmation from the exterior. See, the Bible says that it's a living water coming up out of you, so you have to get your validation and your worth from the inside of you. You're fueled from the inside, not from what somebody says on the outside. So you have to examine your expectations. Here's a good thing for you in marriage, if you want to hear, and even with kids, communicate your expectations. Communicate them. See, because uncommunicated expectations affect everything. If you don't communicate your expectations, like when you go to have a job, right? They give you your job responsibilities and your expectations. What if you just showed up for work and they said, do whatever you want to do? Right? You won't know what to do, right? You'll spin in discouragement because you don't know the expectations. A lot of your marriages are spinning in discouragement. Your friendships are spinning in discouragement because there's been no expectation laid out. You don't necessarily know how to function within that relationship. So hidden expectations result in conflict. It's like communication in marriage. Like, listen, you have to have a conversation. Listen. Ladies, we don't get it unless you say it. And most of the time, we don't get it until you say it 7 times. That's reality, right? But for some reason, early on in this marriage, I think that was an expectation like my wife had on me, was like to understand, like, hey, like, what do you mean? Like, I wasn't in, like, one time she got on the chair and yelled at me. She's not in here today, so I can tell stories. It was all in love. She was like, are you hearing me? Uh-huh. Yeah, I am. I'm hearing everything you're saying right now. Right? That was early on. We were learning how to do this thing called marriage. But here's the point. The point is that if we expect our husbands to get our expectation through osmosis, it's never going to happen. And vice versa. Gentlemen, like, you have to say something to your wife. Right? There's 4 things that kill a marriage. Number 1 is communication. Number 2 is kids. Number 3 is money. And number 4 is sex. The lack thereof. In all those cases. Some of you are like, I've given up on the sex thing. We're done with that. We're done. Hold on a second, though. Hold on a second. Communicate. Communicate about communicating. Communicate about your kids. Communicate about your money. Communicate anything that's hidden. Anything that's, there's a hidden expectation, like it should be a certain way. Right? If it's not communicated, it's going to create disappointment, pain, and tension. So we examine our expectations. Number 3 is accept them for who they are. The other person, accept them for who they are. When you accept the other person for who they are, you recognize his or her uniqueness. Number 4, change what you can. Change what you can. Change what you can. Change what you can. Not change what you can. Change what you can. Point at yourself and say, change starts with me. If I'm going to experience the reality of what God has for me in my relationships, it starts with me. Trying to change the other person is unrealistic, but changing yourself is not. Stop trying to change what you cannot change. Instead of trying to change the other person, determine what you need to change and change you. And here's where you need to start, with your attitude. Start with your attitude. How many times do we try to take the place of God in other people's lives? How often do we try to do what only God can do? Number five, I've got two more and I'm done. Extend grace when people fall or fail or fall short of your expectations. Extend grace when people fail or fall short of your expectations. Luke 6:31 says, "Do to others as you would have them to do to you." Read the entire passage, the context of this. It's about loving your neighbor. It's about blessing your enemies. It's about blessing those that curse you. It's about doing good to those that hate you. It's all relationships. Do to others as you would have them to do to you. Extend grace when people fail or fall short. And finally, I think when it comes to unrealistic expectations, it's just like the survival guide. Stay put. Never give up. There are stories in this room that I know of that you're still married because you didn't give up. There are things in your life today that you can look at and say, we might have blown it in some areas, but we're restored in our marriage because we didn't give up. Some of you, it's with your kids. Some of you, maybe your relationships with your kids went bad at some point, but you never gave up. And when you never gave up, that relationship has been restored. Let me encourage you today. If you're gonna manage unrealistic expectations, 1 Corinthians 13:7 says, love never gives up. Love never loses faith. It is always hopeful and endures through every circumstance. And so instead of setting an unrealistic expectation on your relationship, set a realistic expectation. Examine them, adjust them, and allow that pain to dissipate. Allow it to get closer. Allow it to get closer to reality. And through that, love the person. Never give up on somebody. Never lose faith on somebody. And always be hopeful. Endure. Now listen, through every circumstance. So let's swing this thing all the way back around to the beginning. We're going to pray for your relationships this morning. And maybe you're in this room and you're like, Pastor, everything you said is how I've been living. You can take this and make adjustments. And your relationships will start to turn around. Your marriage will turn around. Because it is the number one killer of every relationship is unrealistic expectations. I would challenge you this week to sit alone with God and go, God, where have I put an unrealistic expectation on somebody that has caused disappointment, pain, and tension in that relationship? Now let's go a little bit deeper. Let's go to the God factor. Some of you are putting your disappointment, your tension, and your pain on an unrealistic expectation that you put on God, and you feel like He hasn't met it. You know, I've been there. There was a young lady at our church named Leslie that was with us from the beginning. Leslie battled cancer, 30-something years old. Multiple times. Being a part of our church, I saw God work in her life and do a miracle in her heart, and I watched God heal her of that. It returned. We prayed our guts out. We sought God for this. We fasted, we prayed, we loved, we encouraged. She's not with us today. What does that mean? How do you navigate that? Here's how I had to navigate it. I had to go back and go, God, I don't understand everything. And I'm going to believe big. Absolutely. I believe in healing. Listen, man, just because you eat one bad apple don't mean you stop eating apples. You pray for somebody and they don't live. Does that mean you stop praying for people? Does that mean you stop giving up on healing? Physically, emotionally, and spiritually, do you stop? No, but there was a time where I was wrestling with this thing, with God. But I came back to the reality of this. God has never been my problem. He's always been my answer. God is good. Do I understand everything about this world? Do I understand everything that's happening? I don't. But I do know this, God is good. Though it didn't turn out the way I thought it was going to turn out, the Bible also says on the other side of it is, I believed and I trusted. But the Bible also says, Paul said, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So for Leslie, it's far better. For us, it's those that grieve and walk through it and go, what in the world? Why? But all of a sudden, we bring it back to God's good. And we don't know every detail of what happened, but we do know this. She's in heaven, and there's going to be a reunion day. Just like David, he fasted and prayed, and he came to the table and got the word that his son had died. He got up, he washed himself, and he went on, and he says, the boy might not be able to come to me, but I can go to him. Speaking of a heavenly reunion, here's the point this morning. That's just an example. What do you believe in God for? Have you based your reality of your expectation on God's word? Or have you based it on your mental ascent experience? Do we strive and believe? Absolutely. Do we continue to fight through? Absolutely. I've been fighting for our vision and our church to get us where we need to go, because I know once we get over this, the wave happens. I know what's going to happen. I know God is positioning us. But in the journey, I'm discouraged, and there's times where I'm like, why isn't it happening faster? Faster! It's because Jason's got some patience and some reality and some perseverance and some stuff he's got to deal with between reality and seeing the fulfillment of that expectation. So where are you today? I want to pray for you. Do you put unrealistic expectations on God? Do you put unrealistic expectations on people? Let me ask you a question. Do you still love God and serve him when something he wanted so desperately didn't happen? Right, Pastor, that's a real question. That's a reality. There are things in your life that you believe for that just don't happen. And instead of wondering why, I go back to God is good. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. He's the Prince of Peace. He's my everything. And so whatever happened, happened in that moment. But I want you to know that I will not discredit my love for him, because it didn't work out the way I thought it was going to work out. Your relationships, who have you given up on? What realistic expectations do you need to realign yourself with when it comes to your life and expectations? Let me pray for you. Father, today in the name of Jesus, thank you for these wonderful people that you love so much. Father, I thank you today for what you're doing in their lives. I pray today that by the power of the Holy Spirit, that, Lord God, you would help us to walk through our expectations and manage our expectations in a way that will help us have healthy relationships. And Lord, today, if there are things in our life of pain, things we need to work on, things we need to shift, things we need to pay attention to, Lord, I pray today that as we self-examine, that, Lord God, we will change what we can and you'll change the rest. And so we thank you today that you help us align our lives with your heart. Lord, forgive us where we've questioned you. Forgive us where we've doubted. We ask today, Lord, that you would forgive us. We repent today. We know you're good and your mercy endures forever, so we take you at your word. We don't understand every logistic, but God, we understand your heart. And so we thank you today that we can live and breathe and get our identity and our value and our worth from you. And so, Father, we love you today. We praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Can you guys give the Lord a big hand clap for his word today?
Thanks again for listening to our podcast. Be sure to connect with us on social media, the RLC app, and online at livereallife.com.